we offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our Lord Jesus Christ ministered with the understanding that no one is beyond saving. Do we believe that in the church today? We're going to talk about it in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the glorious message that you have given to us in your holy word, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. God, help us to understand as we find ourselves in the Lenten season that it was the sins of this world, our sins, that sent you to the cross. Help us also to understand that through that sacrificial suffering and death, full atonement has been made for those sins, and by grace through faith in you, we can have the experience of having all of those sins forgiven. Come, Lord Jesus, and help us to understand more fully the assurance that is ours by trusting in Christ alone. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was going by that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give you half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what is lost. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, the story of Zacchaeus is one of my most favorite Bible passages. I have preached on this text more than any other in all of Scripture, and I have also asked that it be the text used at my funeral service. It is disappointing to me in a way that only one of the four Gospels included the story of Zacchaeus, but I am thankful that Luke saw fit, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, to make it a part of his book. You know the story quite well, don't you? You do if you've gone to Sunday school, because not only did we learn the Bible story, there was a song that went along with it. Here Jesus is in Jericho, and he had been announced there without a doubt before, for there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus who really wanted to get a look at him. I don't think he was too concerned about what Jesus was preaching, but he wanted to see who this man was, getting all the attention in their day. So he went down to the parade route and soon realized that he would have to climb up in a tree if he were going to see him. So he went on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree, and there he sat when Jesus came walking by. Now Zacchaeus was a wealthy tax collector. He was hated by the people. They wanted to have nothing to do with him, for he had stolen from them. When Jesus gets to the sycamore tree where Zacchaeus is sitting, he stops and says, "Zacchaeus, come on down, for I've got to go to your house today." And so as he trotted off with Zacchaeus, the people began to mutter and sputter and says, "What's the matter with him? He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." And so they went in and had a visit. And then when the visit was over, Zacchaeus came out with this tremendous response to what the Lord Jesus Christ had said to him. "Lord, if I have stolen from anyone, I want to restore it fourfold, and a half of my goods I am going to give to the poor." This man's life was completely turned around, a conversion we would call it, and it was at this time that Jesus turned and made that great statement that I hope all of you have memorized. "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Now, somebody could hear this from a moralistic point of view and say, well, I can understand why Matthew, Mark, and John did not include this story in their book. After all, this guy is nothing more than a thief. He belonged in prison. He could very well have fit in with some of the scoundrels that we have read about during the last couple of years in our own society. People who have stolen from other people. They have taken away their pensions, and they have affected the stocks of millions of others. Why in the world should anybody be granted the forgiveness of their sin if this is a way that they have lived? And why would anybody want to put that story into their book if they were writing one on the life of Jesus? Well, I'm sure that there are many reasons, but let me give you just three of them today as it comes to the forefront in the light of the whole gospel story. Here's the first one. This story clarifies the mission of Jesus Christ, and therefore it clarifies the mission of the church. You remember when the angel came to Joseph and said, your fiance, Mary, is with child. She is going to give birth to this boy, and he will save his people from their sins. Now 33 years have gone by, and Jesus is about to be lifted up at the cross of Calvary. But there in Jericho, he says, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. In other words, he now is affirming what the angel's message was to Joseph. He was now saying to that group of people, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's the story. In other words, Jesus is saying that people are lost. What does he mean by that? He means that if you are outside of him, there is no relationship with God. And therefore, a person is spiritually lost. Now, here we get into a real conflict in our day. I'm sure we probably always have, but it certainly is very, very strong today. The culture of which we are a part, this post-modern day and age, this post-Christian age, is saying that man is not lost. The human being is not lost. The human being is basically very good. It might have been all right back in the days of pre-sociology and pre-psychology that we would talk about people being lost, but not today. They are basically very good, is the cry of our society. And just let us at them with our disciplines and we'll show you that is true. Even though we produce one person after another that is seen in the eyes of the nation as being a tyrant, we still go on to say that people's basic nature is good. The Bible says it is not. And Jesus Christ was the one who affirmed that great teaching in the Bible. Jesus Christ came to take away the sins of the world. And when the sins of the human being are taken away, then he is restored into fellowship with God. Then he can begin to do some marvelous things for the cause of Christ, for the cause of humanity, and for the cause of the human being himself. Notice also here in this, and that's very necessary in defining the mission of Jesus and of his church. He says, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Unlike all other religions, the initiative starts with God. Notice here the voice. It's positive. He is the one who is coming to us. It is not we who is going out to the world. It is a passive voice. He is coming to us, friend. That is what the Christian faith is all about. God is the one who takes the initiative. I came to seek and to save that which is lost. God is not in a game of hide and seek with us, and he hides as we try to find him. Not at all. He is there trying to come into our lives and bring us into a relationship with him. Well, that's the first reason. It declares what Jesus' mission was and what the mission of the Church of Jesus Christ is to be. Secondly, he came to show the power of the gospel. And I'm sure Luke wanted that in to that gospel so that people could understand how powerful Jesus Christ and his gospel really is. I wonder if there's anything that can grab a person's life any more than money. Maybe there are things, I don't know. But certainly in Zacchaeus' life, money was a very, very strong entity. As a result of that, he had become a very wealthy man. He had stolen as a tax collector from the people. It was a legitimate stealing because the Roman Empire didn't care how many dollars that Zacchaeus got away from the people. All they wanted was the amount that they wanted that he had to bring to them. Now then, if he went out and stole a few dollars and the people hated him, so what? Who cares about friends if you have money? And you've heard it often said that money will buy all the friends you ever need. Here is Christ who comes. He says to Zacchaeus, let me come into your house. And there they sat and visited. And as they visited, the Holy Spirit worked in the life of Zacchaeus. And it was a great transformation. Jesus Christ broke the power of money in the life of that man. To the place that Zacchaeus says, you know, I not only am willing to turn my life over to you, Lord Jesus, but the half of my goods, the half of what I have, I'm going to give to the poor. And if I've stolen from any of these, my fellow friends, right here in front of me, I'm willing to give it all right back. Fourfold. There was a real change in that person's life. In our case, it may not be money that is really holding us, the power that is holding us. Maybe for some who listen to me this day, it could be alcohol or drugs, and you say that I'm absolutely helpless. Jesus Christ comes to you. Notice again the passive voice. You're not coming to him. He is coming to you today through these words that he stated, I love you. I want you in my kingdom. I'm willing to grant you the forgiveness of your sins. Come. It could be the power of a certain lifestyle that I like, but I know that it's wrong, and I know I shouldn't live that way. Maybe it's immorality. Maybe it's hatred. Maybe it's selfishness or greed or the craving for social acceptance. Just like you can't seem to let go of it. And here our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, look, as I broke the power in the life of that guy by the name of Zacchaeus, so I can break that power in your life. That's the gospel. In other words, that story, I believe, was put into St. Luke's gospel to let us know what a powerful message the Church of Jesus Christ has. It has a law, that's true, to convict me of my sin. But it also has a gospel which tells me how my sin can be forgiven and how I can be restored into fellowship with God and live with him forever. That's the second reason. Here's the third reason why I'm sure that it is included in this great gospel of St. Luke. Jesus never gives up on people. Isn't that interesting? We give up, don't we? But he never gives up. He knows that we are created in the image of God. He knows that we have exercised our will and we have turned away from God. And we know that by our own nature, we are far away from our Heavenly Father. But we also know that the human being can be changed. Again, the passive tense. We are not doing the changing. We're not the ones who say, well, I guess I better change because I've lived this way long enough and it's a dead-end road. No, it's Christ who comes and says, I'll change you if you will but, by the grace of God, receive me. What this means, then, is that when we see a person who we feel is absolutely, hopelessly outside of ever being righted, that we must realize that that is a wrong understanding, that that person can become a new individual in Jesus Christ. Just think of what that does to us as we try to do our witnessing. Can't you see how important it was for an individual to know that if he were going to be the disciple of Jesus and was going out into a hostile world? In like manner, the same way. How important it is for a congregation to know that no matter where that congregation is, there is a place to grow there. We don't always understand that. And I may be talking out of the top of my head, I don't know, but I have spent some time since my retirement in smaller rural congregations. And I had the most interesting thing the other day as I sat and visited with a pastor of one of these smaller churches. He went on to say, you know, we don't have the people out here anymore, not nearly as many as once they had. And if things go as they are going, maybe some of these churches are going to have to close. But I want you to know that there are many people out here who have no understanding of God's love in Jesus Christ and who are completely outside of the kingdom of God. And that's where our field is. Now, if it's in a rural area or in some other area where your church is not finding itself to be a part of that particular community, realize that wherever there are people, there you have an opportunity, for no one is beyond saving. But sometimes it takes a little knowledge of how to go after some of these people with a message of God's love in Jesus Christ. What are some of the great times when we probably can get their attention? Well, I think of one of them is in a time of sickness and death. I'm going to take the rural area because I'm best acquainted with that, for that is where I generally live today. Here is the farmer who has never gone inside the church, or very seldom does he go there. Now sickness and death has come to his family. Isn't that a wonderful time to go over with a cake or whatever else it might be and sit down and say, you know, I hope you understand that I love you, but God loves you more. I hope you understand that if we die trusting in Jesus Christ, then we can go to heaven. What a message it can be at the right time. At the time when a family is disputing, and maybe these two young people who have gone on to the family farm, and they've only been there a short time, and they have one child, and now they're going to divorce. What a time for people of like age to go and say, you know, wouldn't you come along to church? I think we have something there that can really help you, and it can help your marriage. Wouldn't that be fun, friend? It may not always work. But remember that Zacchaeus was a pretty hard old boy. But you say, I'm not Jesus. No, I know you're not Jesus. But you go in the name of Jesus, and you go with the power of the gospel, for that's what he asked you to carry with him into their home. So here are three reasons why I am thoroughly convinced that St. Luke included this little story in his book. First, it clarifies the mission of the church. Secondly, it shows us the power of the gospel. And thirdly, it reminds us that we are never to give up on people. Wouldn't you agree that this is a pretty important story in the training of people to know how to become a fisher of men? That is why I need to return to this incident in the ministry of our Lord Jesus to keep my ministry in focus too. I wonder if that isn't true of all of us who want to be fishers of people for Jesus Christ. Amen. pray with me. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we see that divine power as it worked in the life of Zacchaeus. Help us to understand that it can also work in our lives too. If our lives are burdened, O God, with sins that draw us away from you, then we pray that you will not only forgive us, but that you will break that power of sin in such a way that we may have the victory over it. Maybe, O God, it's a power of fear, for perhaps we are older, and maybe death draws nigh. We wonder what the future holds. Grant, O God, that the power of fear may be replaced with that promise of peace, that if we die trusting in Jesus, we are his forevermore. It is in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We thank our faithful listeners for your generous support. Your gifts allow us to bring the greatest news that ever was, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to listeners throughout the country and the world. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons are available to be read or printed. We are pleased to make available the exclusive CD or cassette, A Treasury of Reverend Homer Larson's 20 Best-Loved Hymns. This special collection features beloved classics, including The Church's One Foundation, Great is Thy Faithfulness, How Great Thou Art, A Mighty Fortress, and Beautiful Savior. Free with any donation made on our website. This exclusive offer is sure to be cherished for years to come. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Christian Crusaders is now in its 67th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.